We would like to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the traditional lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
We pay our respects to elders both past and present.
Scream Queens.
Welcome to Screen Queens.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything on your screens. I'm Beck Charlwood. I'm a comedian, podcaster, writer, and your new best friend.
I'm Alex J, comedian, podcaster, writer, and also your new best friend. We're basically the same person.
Oh my God. We also have slicked back hair.
We do.
Today.
Oh yeah, we should say, we don't say this enough. We do. We have full episodes on YouTube, you guys. You can watch the entire episode on YouTube and check out our slick back hairstyles.
It's crazy me, there's people that listen to this and don't know every time we're wearing velour tracksuits.
Oh, yeah.
Every single time we're wearing full velour tracksuits. And if you don't know that, please go at least watch one video on the YouTube.
It's become so normalized for us now that we even don't feel it. Everyone in the office, the cafe downstairs, they always know when we're in our velours, it's record day, baby.
Yeah, I referred to you in the cafe this morning as the purple one and they knew who I was talking about. The Tinky Winky of this podcast, some may say.
Was there a green one?
There was, yeah, I'm Dipsy.
Dipsy, how do you know that? Teletubbies.
Because there's Tinky Winky, Dipsy, Lala, and motherfucking Poe. And I'll never forget that till the day I die. Tubby Custard. I think about it every morning.
What's a Tubby Custard? That sounds yucky.
Oh, it is yucky. But as a kid, it was like the thing that they ate. And it was like pink sludge in a bowl.
Okay, that actually sounds delicious.
But yeah, it looked fucked up but delicious. Anyway, a bit of Teletubbies lore to go off our pop culture episode. This is the episode we release every Monday where we talk about the things that don't matter like they do, a la
the
early 2000s show, the Teletubbies. Or maybe even, was that the 90s?
Probably. That feels 90s to me.
Yeah, I watched it as a little baby, so that makes sense.
Little baby girl.
Shout out. God, I wish I could have a TV on my tummy. Oh my God.
Oh, they had TVs. See, I think I was a bit too old for Teletubbies. They passed me by. I forgot they had the TV on the tummy.
Yes.
That's the telly part of.
Exactly. I could look at myself in the mirror and watch an episode of the OC and not have to hold any device. Just have it there with me.
Oh, but at least it'd be backwards. That's okay though.
I would fiddle with the settings. I'd figure it out. Instead of learning to suck my own dick, I remove a rib so I can watch my own TV on my tummy.
And that's the difference between men and women.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. We figured it out.
Finally. This episode.
Yes.
What are we covering?
We've got a couple things on the roster. We've got a little update from a listener who wrote in to not correct us, but to just expand our knowledge on something we've spoken about on a previous gossip episode. Exciting. We're going to touch on the Arj Barker shit that's happened this week in Australian media. I think even our international listeners, it might have reached you by now.
It started bleeding out. Oh. And it's because this is at the start of the week, we're like, we have to talk about this.
Yeah, when it happened, I was like, ooh, goody, I cannot wait for our record.
And now we're aware it's been saturated.
A mere 3 days later.
Yes. You can't escape this fucking thing.
Everyone has said everything, but we're going to touch on it.
Yes.
Because I have a personal experience.
And I have some very passionate thoughts about it.
Yes. Excellent. Perfect. And then we're going to finish up with a little chat around Taylor Swift's new album, The Tortured Poets Department.
Yes.
Not
the Dead Poet Society.
Yes.
Although, again, so cruel of her to do that to us.
And she knows that movie. She's old enough. She knows that movie exists. Yes. Yeah. All right. Okay, so quick little update. This is from listener at Please I'm Not Famous. Excellent handle.
I love listener input. Like, I wish last week when I talked about the OC that I'd read out people's tags and direct messages. Let's do it in future.
We'll make notes.
Yes.
We'll make notes. So she said, this is an update on our discussion around the Dixie Chicks, or now rebranded the Chicks.
Chicks.
She just has some more information about the rebrand. So she said, hi, Queens.
Hello, Queen.
Hello, Queen.
Hello, Queen. I'm not famous.
Hello, Queen. I'm not famous. I've just listened to your Goss episode where you're talking about the Dixie Chicks and wanted to give you a little more information about their name change. They actually dropped the Dixie because it is synonymous to the Confederate states in the U.S. That wanted to maintain slavery during the U.S. Civil War.
Oh.
A lot of country bands, especially after the BLM movement in 2020, dropped typically Southern words from their names that were ambiguously but very much are racist, like Dixie and Antebellum.
Antebellum.
Lady A is now the name for the famous band, as they were originally Lady Antebellum.
I did wonder why Lady A was covering all of Lady Antebellum's songs and getting away with it.
Just a really dedicated cover band.
I generally, every time a Lady A song came out, I was like, when I find out who this is, when I have an hour of my day to dedicate to a YouTube spiral about this... to figure out what's going on here.
We don't need to anymore because of our beautiful listener, our beautiful queen.
Thank you for saving me from that hour.
So these words are associated with the South, but more so associated with nostalgia of a time when slavery was legal and therefore are offensive and shouldn't be used anymore. Hope this helps. Love the new pod and we'll continue to listen to y'all forever and ever.
Okay, love. That's
love.
So good to know. Because every learning. Time I did say it, I was like, feels there's a vibe to it.
I felt like there was a vibe in the air, and we had no more information to that.
So thank you.
Thank you, my dear. Okay, Arch Barker.
Yes.
For anyone who missed this.
Were you under a rock? Did you pass away this week?
Honestly, did you lose your phone?
Did it not make it to hell?
Should we give the listeners a little rundown for anyone who might have missed it?
Yes, and I'll try to remain unbiased in this retelling of it, okay? But
we both feel very strongly, and we both fall on the same side of the feeling the strongly.
Yes. So Arj Barker was doing the Melbourne Comedy Festival at the Anthonaeum Theatre, which is an 800-seat theatre.
Huge.
And a woman came to the show with a 7-month-old baby and sat in the second row. And the baby was making some sounds throughout the show.
As babies are wont to do. They gristle. They make little...
Yeah.
You know, those little ones.
Yes, yes.
I've met a baby.
Yes, we all have at some point. And, you know, they're great. But, you know, they be making noise. And I don't think that's slanderous to say.
Mm-mm.
And so Arj addressed it a few times in his set. And then made a few jokes that the woman should maybe leave because it was disrupting the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then she didn't pick up on the hint. And there's the bias.
She didn't read the room.
Yeah. And
literally did not read the room of 800 people.
Yes. Who also didn't bring their babies.
I reckon at least 10 of them have babies.
Yeah.
But they didn't make it to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So then he had to ask her directly to leave the show. And as she was leaving, people were yelling at her to fuck off and get out.
Yes.
And so then now it has blown up in the media and everyone is having the debate, should babies be allowed in comedy shows?
Mm. Yes. It has become literally a national debate.
Yeah.
It's become a sexism feminist issue. It's become mothers' rights issue. On the other side, it's become comedians' rights, audience rights issue. Every panel show that we have has discussed this. And the mother has been on all of those panel shows as well.
Humiliated mother.
This poor woman, she didn't know what she was getting herself into. Does she not have a friend in media at all?
Girl, if you're humiliated by something and ashamed and awful, sorry, you spent all week reliving it and rehashing it in the same interview, which, by the way, the baby interrupted every single interview, every single one.
At one point on the project, they had to ask the baby to be taken away like in the show.
So they could finish. It's like you...
You couldn't write it. It's been so funny. The first day I was outraged because I could not believe that the discourse was falling on the baby side. I just right. could, as a comedian, not as a child-free person, not as a person in the world, literally as a comedian who has seen a lot of comedy, I just couldn't believe it. And I sent it to you because it was like, I feel like I'm being gaslit. This is not okay, right?
Yeah.
This week's been so weird.
Yeah.
I feel like it's so obvious the babies don't belong at comedy. And I couldn't believe that people were giving...
Now that we're at the end of the week and I have more information about the situation, can I expand my thoughts?
Yes.
I don't think stupid people should come to comedy shows. Am I talking about the baby? Am I talking about the mother? I'll never reveal. But that's what I will say as a blanket statement. Sorry, if you're a dumbass and you can't understand, if you can't read a room, maybe I'm talking about the baby, you know, maybe I'm not. If the comedian's making direct jokes at you to leave the room, sorry, don't fucking come.
Like, even before that, just don't bring the baby.
Don't bring the baby.
I couldn't believe it. And I got into some weird arguments with people about this that I was very surprised at their take of falling on the side of the mother. Like, of course mothers and babies belong places and should go, but live performance is not a place for the baby because of the distraction. Of course, because of the distraction. Like, the at least with like people and hecklers, they choose their moments to pipe up and, it, you know, it always sucks and whatever. But babies just make noise no matter where you are in the show.
Mm.
And it's going to like... I'm a fan of Arge from way back.
Mm.
I haven't seen his stuff in ages. But I'm just talking as a general comedy rule. This person, this comedian has spent potentially a year or more on this act. And it is crafted. It is structured. There's callbacks. There's like to expect a baby to be quiet enough for an entire hour that they're not going to step on that shit and disrupt it is insane.
Mm.
An hour.
It's... And also it relies on like silences and pauses. And if you fuck with that, it does throw off the comedian, throws off the show, and it ruins the experience for people. A lot of other people that have booked in a sitter, who've made the time, who've respected all of the other patrons.
Spent probably $50 a ticket, I imagine, for a theatre that big.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's like, I have done shows where there has been babies and they have made noise. And it's like, you have the initial like, oh, that's funny. Like,
weird.
Why is there a baby here? Mm. Like, always if there's a like a noise of a baby, what gets an immediate laugh is like, is there a fucking baby here?
Why is there a baby here? Yeah.
Destroys. Yep. Kills.
Yeah.
Then from there, either you address the baby, talk about the baby for a couple of seconds. We all acknowledge there's a baby in the room. Then if the baby keeps making noise, what has always happened is people have left with the baby. If the baby's making noise and you stay... Sorry, it's not fun anymore. The comedian doesn't have to make the whole show about your fucking
baby.
That's
then selfish.
Yeah. It's,
well, a lot of the kind of takes were like, you know, the comedian should be able to handle it. Isn't that the whole point of comedy is like handle it?
And it seems like Arj did and he made jokes about it.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And it's like, so the whole hour doesn't get, if the baby's making noise for the whole hour, he doesn't get to deal with it the whole time.
Because it's fucking selfish. It's not just dealing, like you're putting this person who is at work and who's worked really hard and there's 799 other people there to see the hard work this person's done.
Mm.
It's fucking selfish to expect him to just deal with it for an hour. And if it was a drunk heckler, a lot of the takes seem to be like, well, you know, if it was a drunk heckler, he'd handle it. No, people, drunk hecklers get kicked out.
Yeah.
Again, just like this baby did.
Stupid people shouldn't be at comedy shows.
I just like, what if you were sat next to that baby? How fucking annoying. Well, if I saw that, I would have wanted to move.
There was someone who went on Husey's radio show was like, I was behind her and I couldn't hear a fucking word that Arj was saying because the baby was being so loud.
And for the fact that the outrage shift, like, I feel like the discourse has recorrected itself by now, thank God. But I was gaslit for a couple of days there.
Yeah.
Because the outrage at the beginning was like, okay, one, the media spun it to make it sound like he was had a problem that she was breastfeeding, which as soon as you say the word breastfeeding, ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Moral outrage.
We all agree it should have, like, that you shouldn't be shamed for breastfeeding anywhere.
Anywhere. But the baby shouldn't have been there to begin with, so there's no, should be no option for breastfeeding.
Yes.
Anyway, but that it sounds like that wasn't even part of it. Maybe she was breastfeeding, maybe she wasn't. That's not something I have an issue with at
and
all.
Immediately, I was like, if he's on stage, he probably can't see that she's in a theater as well. People, again, he said it on all of his interviews, when you're on stage, the lights are blinding.
You can maybe see the legs of the front row.
Yes. People wonder, it's like, wow, how do you get up there? How are you, like, in front of all those people? Bitch, I can't see you.
Nope, I'm just looking at a bright white light.
Yeah, and I get an audible response if it's going well or not.
And that's why when you see comedians put their hand over their forehead, that's when they're
saluting the gods of comedy. No, we want to see.
We're actually looking at people.
Mm.
So I just, the outrage was just insane. And yeah, you guys, the media storm.
This really pissed me off because Billy Darcy said to me, I've never seen someone be such a victim of a slow news week.
It's true, this poor woman, also true.
Because the last few weeks in the Australian media have been horrific. They've been awful. Yeah. We had two fucking stabbings.
Oh, my God.
And then the Bruce Lerman case,
where
he was convicted as a rapist. There's been multiple murders of women in domestic violence situations. And then the thing that pisses me off is this whole then flip around the next week of being like, we actually really care about women. We actually really care about making spaces safe for women and mothers, and we're so on her side. And it's like, well, then where the fuck were you the other 51 weeks of the year for women, when this every week in Australia a woman dies from domestic violence?
Where's the media storm from that?
Yeah.
Where's the panel show's fury for that?
Don't pretend like you care for the sake of whipping people into a frenzy and conversation.
Because it was the wrong hill to die on. Mm. This wasn't a feminist issue. This wasn't a sexism issue. It's purely just a rudeness issue on both parts, because I do want to acknowledge also, I wasn't there, but from accounts it sounds like it was pretty awful at the end with people yelling at her to get out, and I wonder if Arj could have done more. I wasn't there again, but what do you think about that?
Well, I'm coming at this again fully from the experience as a comedian. Yeah. If there is I've had so many hecklers get kicked out of shows, and only on the rare occasion when they have been a problem for a long time and are fucking up the show and don't realize it, everyone gets on board.
Is there a crowd mentality around it?
Yeah, and tells them to fuck off. That is the rare occurrence when someone is being a problem. If people are yelling you to get the fuck out of the comedy show, you have gravely misread the room. That might
for an extended period of time.
Yes. This might not have been the case. This may have been unjust, just in my experience. Mm. If a whole crowd is telling you to fuck off, you've done something to piss them off.
Yeah, because we don't. Yeah, again, we weren't there. No one took footage. My God, how is there no footage of this?
it's gotten through to people. It's like, don't film the fucking show.
Yeah,
but
So I don't. Yeah, we can't speak on that because we don't have a lot of information. But like, it would have been awful. But to be yelled at like that. But I have to think it's because this person kept pushing. Everyone else knew that Arj was this is much my assumption. Mm. Everyone else in the room knew that Arj was genuinely asking her to leave, and it felt like she maybe didn't for too long.
Yes.
Took it as a joke.
Yes. And she said in an interview, she's like, twice he made the joke of, oh, I can speak baby, and it's saying, please take me outside. Twice. And she said that in interviews.
That's a good line. That's a very respectful, polite way to ask someone to get the fuck out of my show.
Yes. It's like, the first time you should have picked up on the hit. The second time you should have picked up on the hint. And then from there it's like, this is on you now. Like,
And it's like, I don't know, is she even that mad about it, or is it the media that's just made it such this big mad? Like, does she even care anymore? Like, she got her 15 minutes. She had a fun week potentially. Like, I feel like, the discourse just went nuts. I haven't seen anything like it. And it's something because we're comedians. I felt so strong in my opinion all week. And I don't often feel this strong about my opinions.
Well, you've had direct experience with this.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. So
I remember I have secondhand stress from this story.
You guys, and my sister will listen to this, my family will listen to this. You guys know I love you. But I literally kicked out my own sister from a show because she brought her baby to it.
Yep.
I wasn't on the project.
Yep.
Quick rundown. It was a beautiful gesture. So this is like years ago. So my niece is five now. So this is back when she was a newborn.
Little
baby. I was doing a Sydney Fringe show.
She was like 12 weeks old.
Yeah. She was like, props to my sister for making the trip down from Newcastle. That's a 2.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
So I was doing a split bill show, new material show that I do every year with Daniel Towns and Luke Heggie. And my mum and my sister just turned up out of the blue as a surprise.
Which, no. If you're related to a stand-up comedian.
But.
No.
Yes. So big faux pas straight up there. Some comedians are okay with that, but do not bank on that. And yes. I am not one of those people having just like friends and family show up unannounced. Yeah.
Part of the freedom of stand-up comedy and what makes it so easy is that I don't know these people in the audience.
Yes.
They don't know me.
Yep. Oh, it's the best part.
Yes.
It's the best part.
I know there's no one in here being like, I know that's not true.
Yeah, well, that's news to me or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, and we have to have a conversation about it.
Exactly.
No, we go off into the night in our separate ways.
Yeah, actually, I did accidentally reveal something in that set because I hadn't had time to reconfigure it for my mum being there. I'll tell it on the Patreon.
Okay. Fuck, that's juicy. Fuck,
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Damn. So they turned up and like it was a beautiful gesture because like they don't get down to Sydney very often. They don't get to see me do stand up very often. It was lovely.
A beautiful gesture from their POV.
Yes, absolutely.
From you, a nightmare.
I see them and I almost have a panic. It was like 5 minutes to showtime. And
you're like, are you seeing another show? Why are you here?
Are you meeting a babysitter?
Yeah.
So she has the baby. And so one, I was like, okay, just don't rock up unannounced.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. It's beautiful that you did that. But just from, my POV about to go on stage. Mm. And then two, what's going to happen with the baby? Where is the baby going? And then my sister was like, she'll be really quiet. She'll sit up the back. And so I was like, okay, look, I could handle it if this was my show, but I just felt really bad for the other two acts because I was like, she's gonna grizzle. She's just gonna make baby noises.
Yeah.
Even if she's not being difficult, she's gonna make baby croaks and stuff.
Mm.
And it's gonna step on, and this is a new material show as well, and these are my friends, and I don't want them to have a bad show or have to deal with it and spend time that they want to work on new material instead doing crowd work with a baby. And so I basically said to her, like, if she makes any noise, you have to leave. Within 2 minutes, she did a croak and my sister did leave and she just sat outside. But, you know, it was a split bill show, so I just went out and hung out with her for the 40 minutes I wasn't on stage.
Yeah, but that's fair.
And she was fine with it. She was. She got it. And it was just because it was my show, I don't think she would ever have bought the baby to a random comedy show. It's because I'm the auntie. It's my show. Look, Bella's coming to see her auntie do stand up.
Yes.
But even in that lovely gestured situation, I still was like, but no.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's not just like you guys hanging out. It's not her surprising with you. It's there's a whole audience.
Audience as well, and two other acts who are going to be affected.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, maybe that's why I felt so strongly about it this week.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's just a no-brainer.
Mm.
Like.
Yeah. Anyway, shall we move on?
Moving on from that. Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, Tortured Poets Department.
Yes. Released a new album this week of 31 songs.
That's so many songs. She could, coming as a comedian, spread it out, babes.
Yeah.
Don't drop all the new material at once. Mm. Spread it out.
Mm. And the surprise double album, I was like, whoa.
So that was a big surprise, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know, Beck is a Taylor Swift fan. I am not. I'm not anti. I'm just neutral.
Mm.
So you know a lot more of the lore than I do.
Yes. I'm an anti-hero, which is one of her great tracks on her previous album, Midnights.
Great.
Big fan of hers. Mm. Over lockdown is when I got obsessed with her.
Nice.
I believe we have a Patreon episode of me talking about my entire history with Taylor Swift.
We do.
My unhealthy relationship with the documentary Miss Americana that she released on Netflix. I have seen it too many times. Fuck off. Sorry, I was too aggressive. Rack off.
Flip off.
Anyway, this is her 13th album. 13 is her lucky number. It's saying she uses 13 to give out a lot of Easter eggs and stuff. So this is a big deal.
Yeah, right.
And this is her breakup album from her long-term partner, Joe Alwyn, who we thought they were going to get married and have babies.
Mm.
And it's very evident in that album that she was under the impression that that was going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now, because of this album, it is murky of the timeline of when they broke up.
Right.
Because this album was written, it was starting being written 2 years ago.
Wow, 30 songs into, oh, that's insane.
Yeah.
God, she's a machine.
And in that year, she's released, I think, 3 Taylor's Version albums as well. The bitch is busy.
She's a busy lady.
I don't know what drugs they're giving her, but I want some.
How is her eyes just still open?
Drugs.
Yeah.
They're all being given drugs.
Yeah. Of course,
like when
of
you're
course, of course.
The face of such a big brand and icon, it's like people will pump whatever they can into you to keep you going.
Of course. She's not just drinking green tea.
Yes. Yeah. When Miss Americana 2 comes out, I think it's going to have a lot of darker undertones.
True. Than this one. Yeah. It's going to get real.
So, the album came out April 19th and 31 songs is a lot. So I've listened to the full album.
Mm-hmm.
You've listened to
I asked you to send me through some select songs.
Prescribed
songs. To focus on.
I would like to know your thoughts.
Quick question to begin
yes.
with. Okay, so the 4 songs I was tasked with was Fortnite.
With Post Malone.
I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Down Bad.
Yes.
And Thank You, Amy.
Yes.
Is this album more synthy than she normally does?
Yes. The sound design on this album, or just the instrumentalism on it, is quite interesting.
Yeah.
And a very big departure from her previous work.
Okay.
I noticed that as well.
I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't, it felt like all for the 4, I feel like, I assume these are kind of like the 4 main songs people are talking about.
Yes.
So to be the 4 kind of like representative songs, it felt way less pop and way more, man, I don't know enough about music to say, like, I don't know, is Arcade Fire a synthy people?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's for my very basic understanding of different types of music, it felt way more that, like, and I was very surprised.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was surprised too at how indistinct the sound was.
Yes.
There wasn't a lot of range of instruments. There wasn't like a clear beat on a lot of songs.
Mm.
It was a lot of really just synthy kind of background stuff. And
a bit stream of consciousness type lyricism.
Yes.
I actually did. There was one where I did kind of, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Mm.
It felt like it never really took off for me. I kind of felt like I was waiting for the chorus to for the song to kick in.
Yes.
The whole way through.
Yes. I feel that way about this whole album, unfortunately.
Okay, what are your feels?
I think this is probably her favourite album that she's released, and I think that's great for her.
It's an album for her.
Yes, I think this was very released an emotional valve for Taylor. I think that she got to say a lot of things that she's wanted to say for a really long time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that's important to her as an artist. I think that this was not musically focused. I think it was her wanting to tell her side and give the fans like information of what they wanted and everything.
Yeah.
And musically it was lacking. It was, and also just a lot, so many words.
Yeah. Do you know what I just thought? It felt like she wants to write a memoir, but instead she did an album.
Yeah. And also, because like the last few albums, so she had Midnights, and then before that she had Folklore and Evermore, and Midnights musically was stunning.
Okay.
And every track like was like
very distinct and unique.
Yes. Yep. Started. Like the song started and you're like, oh shit, yes. That's,
and I do like some of Taylor's songs. Like when they come, there are like Cruel Summer.
Mm.
I like that's in my head all the time. Like I can get into her music. Yeah. And I just felt, yeah, I was trying to.
And Folklore and Evermore were like very narrative based. Like they were around fictional stories and fictional characters in a fictional place.
Ah.
Yeah, which is really cool. And so this was like, I don't know who this is for. In some songs she was a witch, in some songs she wasn't.
Okay.
In some songs she was herself, in some she seemed to be a character. And then now it's come out that a lot of the songs are not about Jo Alwyn. A lot of them are about her situationship with Maddie Healy, and there's also about Travis in there.
Oh.
And so much so that Bonnie, listener of the pod
Bonnie.
Friend, sent me a breakdown of what songs are about Jo, what songs are about Maddie.
I mean, I'm sure there are theses already being written about this album.
And songs directed to her fans too, which is a first for her.
Really?
She doesn't really, direct stuff to her fans. Usually it's all about stories and feelings and emotions. But so songs you would have listened to is I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Yes.
Is about Jo Alwyn.
Okay.
Fortnite, Maddie Healy.
Oh.
Down Bad, Maddie Healy. But Daddy, I Love Him.
Mm.
And I Can Fix Him, No I Really Can, about Maddie Healy. Obviously.
Yeah.
I did like that she was like, I know I shouldn't have fucked this guy, but bitch, I wanted to.
Yeah, and I'm making it's material now. Fuck
and I
think
that's how every woman that's had sex with Maddie Healy feels.
Sure. It's very relatable.
Yeah.
Like, I liked the lyrics. Like, in that Fortnite, I loved the I Love You, It's Ruining My Life. I'm like, I love that. That's a great line.
Yeah.
But the music around it, it just never, like, none of it stuck in my head.
Yes. Yeah. And even the I watched the video clip with Post Malone. I was like, this is all cool visually. Like the song, it is just a stream of consciousness and a stream of vignettes, and I don't really understand the story here. And I'm deep in Taylor Swift lore. And I was like, I don't really know what's going on here. About her going to the madhouse, and then she's like, for a fortnight, we fucked. I'm like, was that how long the they were fucking for?
Well, she's American. Maybe she doesn't realize what a fortnight means.
Maybe.
She got confused. Maybe she thinks it means like 6 months.
Probably.
And it just kind of like felt, I don't know, Post wasn't really in it for me. He felt like a bit of a backup singer.
Which is a common thing now on Taylor Swift features.
Interesting.
So she did that also with Florida, featuring Florence Welch from Florence and the Machine. Again, kind of just backgroundy vocals. And very famously on Midnights with Lana Del Rey, people were sharing so many memes of like, where the fuck was Lana in Snow on the Beach?
Oh no. Well, actually this album especially Fortnite gave me Lana Del Rey. I wrote that down.
Yes, it was
just
Lana
the very ethereal synthy type music.
Yes, dark, tortured mentally a woman that can't help but fall for bad men.
Exactly.
Yeah,
which I don't know. Is Taylor Swift tortured? I don't know. Maybe she's trying to rebrand to the rest of us, not to you guys, but to the rest of us.
Maybe.
It's in the name. Can I ask, what is going on with Kim Kardashian?
Okay.
I did not know there was beef at all.
What?
No.
Oh, my God.
Completely removed from this.
Let me take you back. So the Kanye West situation at the VMAs, where Kanye got on stage, and as she was receiving the award for Best Female Music Video.
Well, we say video clip in Australia.
Yes.
That's what we call it.
Yeah, so rack off yet again. No one's coming at me.
No.
I'm so you're listening.
Babe, it's just
I love
us
you.
Here, and they're lovely people.
I know. So Kim and Kanye were becoming a couple at that point. They had been for a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards their beef continued.
Mm-hmm.
And Kanye wrote his song Famous about Taylor. Well, about many people, but he had the line, sometimes I think me and Taylor might still have sex. I made that bitch famous. And also in the video depicted a wax figure of her tits out, which is so wildly disrespectful and crazy that we let that slide.
What?
And there is still that much hate on Taylor's side of that beef than there is Kanye's, because that is just like unforgivable.
Oh, I had no idea. Yeah, it didn't make the mainstream.
And so that came out and there was a mild backlash, but then what quieted it down was – Kim and Kanye released a video of them on a call with Taylor Swift where he was telling her that he was going to write the song about it, and she was on the phone be like, oh, yeah, cool, yeah, I guess that's, yeah, you can do that, like giving permission.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot believe how many people listened to that phone call and didn't hear how awkward and mm-hmm. pressured and weird it felt that she was just like, I just want this phone call to end.
Sure.
It's weird you're even calling me.
Yeah.
And just like, and then in the video, there's no, it's allegedly edited in the, her listening to the song. Yeah, so there's a lot of like conjecture about whether it's real footage or how much of it is real, how much of it is edited.
Okay.
Regardless, I think it is bizarre that this 30-something-year-old man is calling. She would have been 22 maybe at most at the time, being like, I'm going to write this song about you.
What do you have to say about it?
Yeah, and it's like as if she's going to be like, shut the... And she's so... polite.
That would be the call that the lawyer makes, and then the lawyer has to think about it and get some stuff together. And be, like, that's not a on the spot, say yes or no.
Yes. Yeah. So, anyway, but Kim was the one that leaked that footage.
Oh.
And so, really contributed to the narrative that Taylor Swift's just manipulative and trying to, you know, put a narrative out there in the media that Kanye's bad, and then Kanye just undid all of that.
Constantly, forever and ever.
Himself, yeah. So this song, Thank You Amy, because the K, the I, and the M are all capitalized, so it's very obvious that it's...
Which I did love that in the song she says, now I've taken out all the identifying factors. No one could possibly figure out who I'm talking about.
Which for me, I was like, you didn't need to capitalize those. Yeah. Like,
I feel like it would have been actually kind of cooler if they weren't capitalized.
Yes.
Right?
And there were some elements of this album, I will say, and I hate to use the word because I think it's overused and we can be more intelligent and nuanced with our language, but cringe.
Yeah.
There's some real, like...
That's very nice. I love the word cringe. I'll go down there.
Yeah. I think that it was just like... Yeah, didn't need to capitalize it. You could have put the song out and let it speak for itself.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's like, you ruined my life, you're a bully, and it was to defend this man and it was all for nothing.
Mm. And the bronze spray tan statue thing.
Yes.
That's Kardashian through and through.
Yeah. There was some stuff in this album that I could have done with more subtlety. Like even with the I Can Do It With a Broken Heart of it, her being like, I have to perform and I'm depressed. And I'm like, I love the honesty of it. And I think that this album, again, had a lot of honesty in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like,
not as clever and subtle and...
Yeah, especially as she's been in the past with stuff.
Yeah, that's her whole thing. That's what I know of her.
Yeah, and she's a fantastic songwriter.
Mm.
But lyrically, this felt rushed. And, like, I found when I was listening to the album, I'd put on a track and then I'd be listening and be like, oh, cool, well, I wonder what the next track's going to be. And I'd look and I'd listen to four songs.
But you thought it was I thought it was still on the one. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
There wasn't a lot sonically that was different track to track.
Good use of sonically.
Yeah, I'll get a radio session.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw around a sonically every now and then.
Radio presenter at a music radio station.
So, yeah, it's not a bad album.
Yep.
And I think over time...
Yeah, that's my next question. How do you think fans are going to look back on this album?
I think there's going to be tracks that people look over fondly and stand out.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, yeah, I think this is the most underwhelmed I've been with an album from Taylor Swift.
Mm.
It's just so crazy because Midnights was phenomenal. The first time I listened to Midnights... I
remember people jerking off... metaphorically so hard over Midnights.
Yes, I listened to it once and I was like, that was so good. I need to listen to it again because it was just so fun and interesting and like really like beautiful lyrics and like composition of the music, and each track was different and had a feeling behind it and an intention.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. It's down the bottom of the list.
But look, it's going to happen. There's going to be, like, if you have this many albums, not all of them are going to be the best one.
Mm.
So there's going to be some duds.
Yeah.
Sure, like, just comparatively.
Yeah. I have a leading theory that Taylor Swift is going to have a baby in the next few years.
Interesting.
if not within the next year. And I think that maybe her putting out 31 songs is to be like, here you go. You have 31 songs to get through.
This will keep you full for a while.
Well, I take just 3 months to have a baby because they're going to figure out the science just for me because they need me to keep pumping out stuff.
So true.
All right. Finally.
That's it from me.
That's everything?
That's everything. We're going to move on to our Wednesday review episode.
Oh, my God. And it's a big one.
Please
and it's a
join
good one.
Us on Wednesday. We're going to finish off from Ep 3 through 7, Baby Reindeer.
Yes.
You've heard about it. We did it last week, but everyone's fucking talking about it. This is taking the world by storm.
If you can't wait until Wednesday, the episode is available on our Patreon right now. Okay, so head over there and you can hear it in full. Oh, I haven't been excited to talk about something
like
so
this.
Long.
Yeah, this is, whew, there's a lot. All right, we'll see you on Wednesday.
All right, see you Wednesday. We love you.
Love you.